I'm very busy today because I'm leaving for New York for the Hasana on Tuesday, so a lot of things to do. Anybody know what the weather is like in New York?
I assume very
It was 91 today.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward. I'm looking forward to the Hasana, but not to the weather.
Right.
I mean, this weather is unbelievable.
Just make sure those air conditioning.
What?
Well,
that's for sure.
Right now, 78 degrees.
Yeah.
It's
not in Lakewood. It's not in Lakewood. Okay, you know, I find that whenever we learn a particular inyan, somehow shailas come up on that particular inyan. Yesterday I got a call from somebody about a shtar Shabbos, a Shabbos contract, and he emailed me two different Shabbos contracts that he was given to use for someone else who needed a Shabbos contract. Let me just read one of them, and you'll see the tremendous difference between the one that we saw yesterday, that we did yesterday, and the one that apparently some people use. I, the Jew, owner of the property located at a certain address, hereby lease this property to the Goy from Friday afternoon, 30 minutes before sundown, until the following Saturday, 1 hour and 30 minutes after sundown. This rental should repeat and be valid every week from Friday afternoon until Saturday night at the above times, until terminated by either party. I also hereby lease the property for the Jewish holidays from 30 minutes before sundown to an hour and a half. After sundown, at the end of each holiday period, the payment for this rental shall be $5 per month, which shall be deducted from the salary which lessee receives from lessor. Totally different method, right? I don't know if this works. It's a lease.
It's a lease.
He's not selling. He's not a partner. Right. He's not a partner. Yesterday we saw that the contract is that the goy becomes a partner, a bailin. He's the bailin for Shabbos, right? And Yom Tov. And here, it belongs to the Israel. He's leasing it just for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. Certainly, the issue of marisayin
applies.
Because
of Rabbi Elchanan, right? Because of Rabbi Elchanan said.
Yesterday we did a lot more. You know, like we went much further. But it's not bailus. It's not a shutvis. So I don't think this works. There are people who use this. I don't know. I don't know exactly what basis they use it. But and the other one also, he sent me a second contract also. Basically, it's the same thing. It's a lease. It's a schiris to the law. Okay. The topic of corporations, the halachic status of corporations, is a very, very big topic. We're going to just scratch the surface today. And you should realize that we're only scratching the surface. A corporation in Hebrew, in Eretz Yisrael, is called... Anybody know what it's called? No? Oh, they have their own... Chevra Balas Mugbelas. A limited... Right? It's a company which has a limited liability, because that's exactly what a corporation is. Limited liability. The shareholders, the stockholders in the corporation are not liable to the creditors for any debts, right? It's only the corporation itself, the assets of the corporation. There's no personal liability on the part of the shareholders. So if the corporation only has assets that are worth $100,000 and the debts are $1 million, right? The creditors cannot go to the shareholders to collect that $1 million. All they can do is collect up to the $100,000, the assets of the corporation, right? Limited liability. That's the essence of a corporation. Corporation is really something that was a creation in America and spread around the world. Now, the question is, what is the halachic status of a corporation? It's nogea to at least four different areas, right? What are the various areas that it's nogea? What?
Ribis in terms of
lending money to a bank, right? Depositing money in the bank, which is really a loan to the bank, or borrowing money from a bank, where there's going to be ribis, right? Is there going to be a shayla of nisa ribis? Number two,
only chametz on Pesach.
And this is the double shayla. This is if you're a shareholder in a corporation of chometz, do you have to sell your shares to the goy? Secondly, is it chometz she'ova olav ha-pesach, the chometz that was owned by the corporation, right? What's the big Seagrams, right? This is a big shayla by Seagrams that was owned by Bronfman, right? And the Jewish ownership. And was the schnapps, which is made from chometz, did have a din of chometz she'ova olav ha-pesach? Thirdly?
Shabbos.
That's why we're doing this. For Shabbos, when do you have, if you have Jews who were shareholders in the corporation, and there were goyim also were shareholders in the corporation. So what do you have to do? Is that like a case of Shutfis, Yisrael va'akum, that you have Shabbos issues, and you have to, either they have to sell their shares for Shabbos, or arrange the partnership agreement that we find in other cases of Shutfis. In other words, is a corporation, does it have a status of Shutfis like any other, that all the shareholders are Shutfim, they're Bailim, but they're Shutfim? So then you would have the same issues as we have on Shabbos, and by a Shut between Yisrael and the Goy. In that Shuv of Ramosha, we didn't do the last paragraph of Ramosha. In the last paragraph, Ramosha says, Shutfis Hanikwa Corporation So Ramesh in this tshuva says that a corporation is like any other shutfis between Yisrael and a goy, and therefore you have to make the arrangement, right, that you have to make by any other shutfis between Yisrael and a goy. We're going to see Ramesh seems to contradict himself, but there's no contradiction when we'll do the Ramesh's tshuva in Evan Ha'ezer. But so that's it's nogeya to Shabbos. It's also nogeya to another issue. Can a person buy stock in McDonald's? Right? Basa b'chala, machalas asuris, the isischeira. An interesting article in RJJ Contemporary Halacha by George Links from the Valley. Right? He wrote an article. May a Jew purchase stock in McDonald's? Right? Because if you're a bailim. Right, if you're a bailim, if you have a status of an owner, you're a shutuf in that in all the machalas asuris in the basa b'cholov. So there maybe there's a shayla of isa schoira and isa hanor. These are the four main areas. That's not Shabbos and Yontif. It all comes under that. So first of all, what's the legal status of a corporation, right? A corporation legally, you have to understand what a corporation is legally before we can discuss the halacha. The legal status of a corporation is that a corporation is a distinct entity by itself. Right? It's an entity, it's a beria bifnei atzma. In other words, all the assets are owned by the corporation. The corporation is like a legal fiction. It's like a legal fiction. You can have people who are shareholders, but the corporation is viewed as an entity by itself based on civil law, right? And in ishius nifredes, that's the term in Hebrew. Ishius nifredes. It's like a person. It's an entity, and therefore the people, the shareholders in the corporation are not really the owners. They don't own the assets, they don't own the property, they don't own the inventory of the corporation. They are just, they're investors in the corporation, and they'll get profits or losses, that's all. But they are not the owners. The way we think of regular bailis, you're an owner of something, I own this table, I own this safer, I'm a bailim. They're not the owners. It's the corporation, right, which has ownership. So it's different than a regular shutfis. By a regular shutfis, when you have partners, they both own the field, they both own the house, they own the business, right? They're both owners.
They're investors,
right?
And owners.
What?
In normal cases, they're the investors.
The investors, because they put in the capital. But they are the owners. What?
You own 51%.
Well, we'll see. We'll talk about that. But you have to know, this is the way civil law views a corporation, right? And that's why there's only limited liability, right? That's by shutfim, by partners in a business, there's unlimited liability. right? If they owe $100 million, right, you can go after them and take all of their personal assets, right, wherever they may be. But by a corporation, it's a limited liability only to the assets of the corporation. The corporation is an entity by itself. The shareholders are only investors, right? Profits and losses from the business of the corporation, but they are not the owners. Of course, you can sell your shares, you can sell your stocks in the corporation, but that doesn't make you an owner of the entity of the corporation. That's the way civil law views a corporation, right? What we would call beria bifnei atzma, right? It's like a beria by itself. A new entity, it's a fiction. But it's a legal fiction that was created by law. So the question is, how does halacha view the corporation? Are the shareholders considered to be bailim? For instance, if it's a corporation that manufactures chametz on Pesach, are they the bailim of the chametz? Or do we say that, no, halacha also views it this way, that it's a beria bifnei atzma, the corporation is the owner of the chametz, the shareholders are only investors, but they're not the bailim, right? Tremendous nafkamina, whether they're even bali roe or bali motzei, whether it's chomish or oval or pesach, if you have Jewish shareholders, right? So does halacha accept this idea that a corporation of civil law based on dina malchus adina, that a corporation is a beria bifnei atzma, or does halacha say no, they're bailim, it's a bailus, it's basically a shutfis of many different people who are the shareholders in the corporation, okay?
And if the Yisrael become a majority stockholder,
yeah. So maybe it becomes a Jewish corporation. We'll see about that. I think there were five shittas that I was able to find in Poskim about this. Five different shittas in Poskim. There's a whole group of Poskim that hold that halacha recognizes this idea that a corporation is a beria bifnei atzma. It's an entity by itself. The corporation is the bailim. The shareholders are not the bailim because they have only a limited liability. In addition, the shareholders can, if it's a corporation that manufactures chametz, they can't eat the chametz, they can't sell the chametz, they can't destroy the chametz. It's not like a regular bailus where you can do anything that you want with the object that you own. No, they are only investors, and the corporation is really the bailus, the bailim, because it's a beria bifnei atzma, right? So therefore, as far as according to this, as far as bayuel bayimotze, it's not going to be a problem, because what is it like? These poskim compare it to chomitz shel akum beveiz akum. That the Israel was mekabel achrayis on that chometz. We know that you're over by your vayimotz, you're mekabel achrayis on the chometz of a goy, right? But only if it's in the reshus of the Israel. If it's not in the reshus of the Israel, there's no by your vayimotz. So the Israel and the Jewish shareholders they have an achrayis because they're going to lose. There's going to be losses, responsibility for what happens, but they are not the owners of the chometz. It's the corporation that owns the chometz. The corporation is like a neutral entity. So it's like a goy, right? And they have achrayis on chometz shel goy. Where is the chometz? In the warehouse, in the company, at the company. It's not in their reshus because the warehouse also, the factory also is owned by the corporation. So therefore they say it's not a problem about Yeroa Vayimotzei because it's Chomet Shalakum Birshusakum that Yisrael is Mekabal Achrayis. There's no din about Yeroa Vayimotzei. There's no din of Chomet Sheova Olav HaPesach. Who are this group of poskim, of Achrayim? So it's a Yad Shol, the Dvar Avrom, the Zecha Yitzchok, Rav Itzola Panovitcher, a sefer called Cheshev HaEifod that the Minchas Yitzchok quotes and argues on. So and it's a small group. Rove Poskim disagree with this, and they hold that there has to be in the corporation. There's a concept of bailim. They are a bailim, the shareholders of the corporation. And the way we see that from Rove Poskim is because they because they talk about the main, one of the main issues the Poskim talk about is ribis with banks. Banks are corporations, right? They're incorporated, and the whole shaila that the Poskim talk about in such great detail, whether there's ribis in from the bank to the into the depositor, or if you're borrowing money and you have to pay the bank ribis, and there are Jews who are involved in the or shareholders in the bank, is there a shaila of ribis? So if it were a beria bifnei atzmo, right, and that if we accepted the legal definition of a corporation in halacha, so the Jews are not bailing. There's no bailus of Yisrael in there. So there wouldn't be a shaila of ribis. And Ein Lochanani, many of these poskim hold that there is no shaila of ribis. It's not a problem. But when you look at the vast majority of poskim, the Sefer Bris Yehuda, the Torah Saribis, and all of the shaila, where Moshe's Truvis, Minchas Yitzchok's Truvis, all of the shaila Truvis that deal with ribis with banks, you see that there is an issue of ribis with banks. And they have to come out with some kind of a psak. Why it's mutter, and what is the status? What's the halachic status of the bank? So therefore, it seems that Rav Poskim do not accept this definition that it's a barrier, that a corporation is a barrier bifnei atzma. The one who wrote one of the yeah sure.
When we say that according to the first group, it's not really Birshus Hashem Yisrael, so.
No, it's a corporation. It's an entity. It's an entity. It's like a third person. Mm-hmm. It's not the shareholders. The shareholders are only investing their money, and they're going to get the profits or the losses depending on how the business goes. But they don't own anything. They're not owners of anything. There's a tshuva from Minchas Yitzchok, Dayan Weiss, about a 10-page tshuva, and where he discusses corporations, balas, bechevros, monios, minchomis, bapesach, shabbos, and ribis. Right? So this is a very classic tshuva, and he comes out with a very, very interesting psak. Dayan Weiss says, halacha does not recognize a corporation as a distinct entity by itself. The shareholders are the bailim. It's a shutfis. It's a partnership like any other partnership, even though it has a limited liability, but still there is a it belongs to the shareholders of the corporation, and even though it's a limited liability, right, and it's a limited bailus, it's still bailus. Torah recognizes that type of bailus. Usually by this you have all the liabilities and all the benefits, right? Over here in a corporation, it's limited, it's restricted. But that's also considered to be a bailus. And therefore, they are the bailim as far as chomitz, as far as ribis, as far as Shabbos is concerned. And they have a din bailus. But he says, and this is a tremendous chiddush that he says, it all depends. There are two types of shares. There's A shares and B shares. I don't know that much about corporations, but there are shares that shareholders. Can we do something about that? Can somebody go out and ask him if they could? Yeah. Josh, you have some influence around here. Ask them if they could wait till 12 o'clock to do that. There are shareholders who have voting rights, and other shareholders who don't have voting rights. So he says, if you have voting rights, that means that you're deya, you have some kind of a deya in the corporation, the corporate structure. So voting rights, then you're a bailim. If you have no voting rights, then you're not a bailim. It all depends whether you have schus hatzbo, lahatzbi, matzbiya, whether you have a schus to vote. That shows that you're a bailim. But if you only don't, and you're just an investor, and you have no schusim to vote on issues, and on choosing the board of directors of the corporation, so you're not a bailim. You have nothing to do really with the corporation except the fact that you invested some capital. That's a chiddush. We'll see where that comes from. But how do you know He brings rayas. How do we know that this type of, that each individual shareholder is considered to be a bialim in the corporation? So he brings rayas from the concept of tzibur, the concept of a tzibur. And when you have a tzibur that owns something, like a Beis HaKnesses, right? The tzibur owns the Beis HaKnesses, unless it's a Rebbe who has his own shtibul and he owns it, and people just come daven there. But otherwise, if it's a shul for the city, right, it's owned by the tzibur. Are the individuals of that tzibur, are they bailim? Are they bailim on things in that tzibur or no? They're not bailim. They have no bailus because they're only individuals as part of a tzibur. So he wants to say, if we'll say, thank you, Josh, if we'll, even after your father's no longer around, you still have some hashpah. So he wants to say that if we'll see by a tzibur that the individual members of the tzibur have some status of bailim on the Beis HaKnesses, so then kal v'chaymet should be by the shareholders in a company, in a corporation. Should be a kal v'chaymet. Because the individual members of the tzibur really do have less rights and less benefits than the shareholders in a company who invested money, right? They put in their capital. So he brings a raya. He brings two rayas from Beis HaKnesses, from a shul, because that's a prime example of a of a property that's owned by a tzibur. What's one raya? Well, he wants to show that the individuals have a status of bialim. One raya is the Yerushalmi, right? I know I only gave you two pages from the Minchas Yitzchok. It's hard to read. It's a difficult tshuva, and you really need to see the whole picture, but I wasn't going to give you 10 pages of the Minchas Yitzchok. This, on these two pages, that's where he really focuses on this particular issue of bialim. It's Yerushalmi that says, that's the question, whether shuls and bote medrash, do they need bitikas chometz? Right? You know, what happens with the chametz in the shul? So people do bring chametz. The kids bring chametz, right? And when they leave it in the shul, what happens to the chametz? Becomes hefker, right? It becomes hefker. But since it's in the chotzer of the Beis HaKnesses has a din of kinyan chotzer, so Yerushalmi says it needs bediko. Why? Because the people of the Beis HaKnesses are koine midin kinyan chotzer. The chotzer is zochin liyad mishloi b'fonov. You can be kind of a chotzer shalom idaito, as long as you have a share, you're a bailim in that chotzer. So you're, apparently each individual in the shul has a certain bailus, and therefore there would be even bal yiroh val yimotze. So therefore they're obligated to do bedikas chometz. There's no concept that the tzibur is even bal yiroh val yimotze. Right? It's the individuals who would be over value. So how would they over? Must be that each one has some share in bailus in the shul, and therefore they can be kind there. They can be kind there. The chometz midin kinyan chaser. So that's one raya. Then he says maybe it's not a raya. Maybe it's not such a good raya. Why? Because the real purpose of bedikas chometz, right? What's Rashi and Machlis Rashi and Taisis at the beginning of Sofim, whether. So it's a machloikis, whether it's because of Bal Yiroah, which depends on Bailas, or Shema Yimtzeenu V'yochlenu. It's a gzeira that there's a requirement of Dika, so you shouldn't have chometz because you might find it, you might come to eat it. That doesn't depend on Bailas. So he says maybe that's not such a raya. But then he has a second raya from a Gemara Megillah. Mishnah Megillah talks about a tzibur that wants to sell a shul al tnai. They make a stipulation. They have to sell the shul now, but they make a stipulation, we can buy it back anytime. Anytime we want, we can force the buyer to give it back to us. So the Gemara says that there's going to be an issa ribis in a case like that, because it's really not a sale. A sale, you can't just retract on a sale. A sale is binding. But if you make a stipulation, I'm selling you the shul, right? But we can get it back anytime. The Gemara says we view that as a halvor. It's really a halvor, and the shul is like a mashkin, right? Like a mashkanta. But the buyer is giving $100,000 to the seller. The seller is really like the borrower, and the buyer is a lender. And therefore, if the if the buyer is using that shul and benefiting from it, and then the seller is gonna give back, is gonna buy back the shul, he's really paying up a debt. But the buyer is a malve and he's benefiting. That's ribis. It's a nissa of ribis. So it's a ribis between malve and loive, right? Who's the loive over here? The tzibur that's selling, right? So the loive is the tzibur. So he says there's an issa ribis not only on malve. There's an issa ribis on the loive, because all the members of the tzibur have a din of bailim. So you see that by a tzibur, the individual members of the tzibur are considered to be a bailim. They're a bailim of the shul, right? Which is the property of the tzibur. So he says, if by a tzibur the individual members are a bailim, certainly by a corporation, the individual shareholders should have a status of bailim. So that's its anocha based on this comparison to tzibur, to Beis HaKnesses. Let me just finish this idea. However, then he goes one step further and he says, but which members have a status of the corporation, which shareholders have a status of Bailim? He says, only those, misvara, he says, only those who have voting rights. If they have, if they don't have any voting rights, so they have no decision-making power in how to run the corporation. That's not bailus. Bailus, he says, requires that the bailim have some kind of decision-making power. Otherwise, you're not a bailim. You're not a bailim. Reb Moshe Sternbach disagrees on that, with that whole premise, as we'll see. But he brings a proof from the property that's owned by the government. Right? Governmental property. Right? Who really owns the property? It's not owned by the government. The government represents the tzibur. They represent, right? So nichsei memshola, right? All the citizens of that country really are they have a share in the property that's owned by the government, because the government is only representing the citizens. So what are we going to say? Every citizen of that country really is a bailim on the property that's owned by, let's say the government has a company that manufactures chametz, right? Manufactures. You're going to say that the Jews in that country, or in Eretz Israel, let's say, the government owns, right? The government owns a company, a corporation, a factory that manufactures chametz. Is there a problem for every single Jew in Eretz Israel? Because he's a shutuf in that property of chametz? So he says it doesn't make sense. It's not logical to say something like that. Why? Because the citizens of the country, really, they don't have a voice in what to do with it. Right? They can't make decisions as far as this property. And therefore, since they can't make and they're not involved in the decision making process, they're not going to be over on the Bayiroa. And it's not like the Beis HaKnesses, that each Yochid in the Beis HaKnesses really has some kind of bailus. But when it's something, because they do have some kind of decision making power in the Beis HaKnesses, right? If you're a member of the shul, you can vote on certain things. But if you don't have a vote and you can't make any decisions, the Minchas Yitzchak calls that you are not considered to be a bailim. And therefore, La halacha he comes out with the following. He comes out that if the shareholders are all Yisraelim, so then it's chometz over olav haPesach, right? If there are goyim among the shareholders, so then it gets a little bit more complicated, and we work with the sugya breira, yesh breira, and we say that the chometz belongs to the goyim. If they manufacture other things, that belongs to the Israel. It's complicated. I don't want to go in that direction, because it's not nogea to us. And he does say that those shareholders who have a vote have to sell their shares on Pesach if it's a corporation that manufactures chametz, because
only
they are buying
shares.
What?
Only they have voting shares.
Only voting shares. Voting shares. That's yeah.
So could you make a basic parallel between the case of Tzibor, case of corporations, and as I mentioned in the beginning that an investor doesn't have any sort of access to the assets of the corporation.
Yeah.
Whereas in the case of a Tzibor, you do have access as you have used to the shul, as every member has a right to the use of the shul. So why can't you make a basic parallel between the two on those lines?
I can hear. I hear that maybe it's a possibility. On the other hand, a shareholder is investing, right? He's putting in his capital, and he's somehow involved. He's looking at the Wall Street Journal every day to see what happens on the stock market, right? And the person who daffens in the shul, he's a member. He pays membership, so you know, like. He's not so involved. He comes there to daven. He doesn't own the tables and the chairs, right? He's not the owner. He's using the services that are provided by the shul.
But like in a case, like if you own some sort of share like Entimans, you couldn't go over to the factory and be like, well, I'm a 10% owner or whatever. So
no, of course not. You can't.
Yeah, but in the shul, you have the right to use the shul.
I have no right to use that. I have the right to. That's the whole purpose of the shul. I have no right to say I'm selling my chair, the chair that I sit on.
No.
You can't do that. Right, so I mean, yesh lo dun was there, but that's the Minchas Yitzchok says. He holds misvara that the individual members of a tzibur of a Beis HaKnesses, right, if they have a status of baylin, then certainly a shareholder would have a status of baylin. He's more like a partner. He's more like a partner in terms of the corporation, because he's putting in capital, right? And what does a partner do? What's a shutfis? Right, shutvim put in capital, right? And then, and that in that way, they are the owners of the shutvim. Yes.
So the vast majority of first off, in terms of the country owning chametz, citizens do have the right to vote. It's just that we kind of shrug it off and say like, what you're voting really.
You're voting for who the government is.
Well,
right?
Then there's like propositions and things like that.
You do have
a voice.
Yeah, a very, very small voice.
Right, so what I wanted to say was that voice. For the majority of shareholders, that there are like major movers and shakers who have like 10% share in something, but for the majority of shareholders, even people who are holding these shares, it's the same thing. They'll like go to conferences and raise the paddle or whatever, but they don't have...
Okay, it's...
more up to a country than to...
Ramesh Sternberg doesn't like this whole thing. Ramesh Sternberg, basically what you're saying, he doesn't like this whole approach. There is no difference between whether you have a share that has a vote or that doesn't have a vote. And the Bris Yehuda, Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, who wrote the classic Sefer on Hilchas Ribis, and he has that whole discussion about banks, right? He also doesn't hold from the Minchas Yitzchok. That's not going to make a difference. Why? The fact that you have a right to vote, right? To vote on. You know, you're one of 10 million votes in terms of who's going to be on the board of directors. That doesn't determine bailus. That bailus is determined, he says, by a person who invests in the company, in the business. He puts capital into the business, so then you become a partner in the business. But if you, let's say, you'll have two partners. And one partner says, both of them invest capital, and one partner stipulates with the other, look, I want to make all the decisions as far as the business, because I know the business. You really don't know it so well, right? He's more of a silent partner. Does that mean he's not a partner? He's not a baylin? Of course he's a baylin. The fact that he's not making decisions, and they stipulate that you cannot make decisions, that tonight is not going to be misalik him from a status of baylim. So Ramesh Sternberg says that you're still a baylim. If we're going to view shareholders as baylim because they invested, because they have a share in the company, in the corporation, so it shouldn't make a difference whether they have voting rights or they don't have voting rights. And then he says also, a little bit like what Eli was saying, that as far as the government, the Minchas Yitzchok proved this, that it depends on shares, on voting rights from the government, property that's owned by the government, right? And we're not going to say that every citizen of that country is considered to be a Biden. He says that's very, very different, because property that's owned by the government is really owned by the tzibur. It's no individual really has any unique specific rights on that. It's sort of like a korban tzibur, right? A korban tzibur is a korban for the tzibur. It's not like a korban shutvin, right? That korban shutvin is two people get together, they buy a behemoth, they bring a korban shutvin, right? The Ramban says in Vayikra, a korban tzibur is totally different. The tzibur is like an entity by itself, and the yechidim, right? The yechidim, the individual members, are not bialim. They don't have their own bialis on that. They're not the balei hakorban.
It's not a riot from the government.
What?
He's saying it's not a riot.
Not a riot from the government.
If
not a riot.
You're a taxpayer. You're not like represented by the government. So then you do have to buy your way into national property.
So. Sure. We're not talking about you're not a taxpayer. We're talking about the people who are citizens and who are paying taxes.
Right,
they're paying taxes. So
also by that, you have to
buy your in. So therefore what? But
it's not like seaboard. If I choose to live here without getting citizenship, then I'm not part of it.
But whatever the government owns, the lands, the property the government owns, the yechidim don't really own it. It's owned by the government representing the tzibur, but it's not yechidim. It's not like a company where you have individual shareholders, and so they can have the status of a bialim, and be oivam bayiro vayimotzer, whether they have voting rights or not. So he doesn't like that comparison. Doesn't like that. Obviously, all of this needs greater, further analysis. So we're doing this on a very superficial level, but just that you should know, Stampede. Just that you should know that the various approaches in terms of this. Yes.
But just regarding his example, so give me another Philip, because even if he's a silent partner, so but he still has his investment constitutes at least somewhere half to some major part.
Who says?
It's some significant aspect. We're talking about a partner in the company. He owns 10%.
Yeah.
So therefore, even if he's a silent partner, he's not making the day-to-day decisions. But his capital is a major impact on the existence of the company. Mashain came by like a regular stockholder. So his even if like, the $50,000 he invests in the company, so we're talking about a billion-dollar company. So his investment is negligible. So how can you can't really compare?
He was saying that if you're going to say that you need voting rights to be a bialim, right? So what happens if you have a case of a real partnership between two people? Reuven makes all the decisions, and Shimon doesn't want to be involved. And Shimon, the stipulation was Shimon cannot be involved in decisions.
Right, I'm saying.
You're going to say he's not a bialim?
I'm saying he should be, because the fact that it's based off the investment money. That should be a riot then from there to back to a company, because shareholder could be so.
Rabbi Sternbach is saying is that the chiluk, the minchas yitzchok is not true. That's all he's saying. He's not using it as a raya. He agrees that there's bailus on the shareholders or bailim, but it makes no difference whether you have voting rights or not, right? And therefore he says even if you don't have voting rights, if it's a chometz dika company, right, you would have to sell your shares by mechiras chometz. Rav Moshe has the tshuva. And I think we should read through this tshuva on page 10. Page 10? No, it's not page 10. But what Rav Moshe's tshuva? Bidvar likach shares mi companies she'osim melocha u'mischa b'shabbos. He's talking about Shabbos, Rav Moshe. Right? So you buy into a company that works on Shabbos. Kazina shenispashit leheta v'atam poshut shein lahachshiv es hakoinim shares shurak mashehu me'amischa shein lahem shum deyo b'hamischa af le'inin chelkom labaylim af le'inin chelkom labaylim. Don't compare them to baylim. Shaladomi l'shutvis v'miksa sheyesh lo deyo k'baylim. V'gam ein hakoinim shares rotzal li'os baylim v'amischa v'einu Rotza liknos klum ba mischael hu rak kone revach ve hefsid. She ba mischael lefi sach kach ve kach shekono. Vi yosanira shein behem geda kinyin bedina shehu le kinyin dovo shalob aliyelum. So he said, Ramesha, what is Ramesha saying? Then a person buys a share. What is he shares? What is he really doing? What is he really? He doesn't have a say in the decisions of the company. He has voting rights. That's not a say in making the decision, right? He has one million. You know, there are 1 million votes, and he has 100 votes. But he's not making the decision. Who makes the decisions of the company?
CEO.
What?
CEO,
the board of directors, and they usually are usually major share owners in the company, right? But the person who owns shares, Stam, is just an investor. Why is he investing? He wants to get the profits. He wants to make money on that. But he's not a bailim in that company, that he really has a daya, that he really has a decision-making power. And he says, it might even be a getter of dovah shalom boli yolam when you're buying the shares. You're buying it in order to make the profits if the company is profitable. And the only reason why you can buy and sell shares is based on a dinei hamedina, dinei de malchusa dina, that they established that. But maybe from the point of view of halacha, really, maybe there's really no concept of kinyan on the shares of the company.
Well, we're sort of short selling also, a little more so there.
Okay, let's do things simply. Yeah, enochanami, that's short selling for sure, is dovah shalom boliyot. But the omasha lefi tnai hamechira, yesh lebala shares deyo lebchiras ha-president, that he can vote on the members of the board of directors, pitume mili bi'alma. That's not making decisions. That's not. You have no real power, no real control. You have to have some kind of control in terms of becoming a bank. They're not interested in buying anything. They want to invest. It's like investing in the bank. If the bank would have a high interest rate, so they would put their money there. But the bank's interest rate is so low, so therefore they want to take the risk by investing in stocks, right? Because then the returns are much greater. That's all it is. All it is an investment. So whatever the company does is not a problem for the shareholders, right? Then it's not like they're the bailim and they have goyim working for them on Shabbos and Yom Tov, or as for that matter, chomitz. It's not their chomitz. It's not chomitz shol of Pesach. There's no bayir of vayimotzei. Va'afim yesh gam yehudim b'habayim. Ein lahachshiv misayei le'oivei averosh ha'mischo yasu gam k'shelo yikne shares mehem ki lo chosem mi sheyikne shares v'akon akon rak l'toves atzma. Chei ein bo zeh shum misa k'mo shenoigim harvim b'nei odom v'avyirei chet likno. So there's no problem buying shares. According to Ramesh, there's no problem buying shares in the chomitz sticker company, on a share company that works on Shabbos, right? Buying shares in a bank, and buying shares in McDonald's. It's not a problem. Except, is there ever a problem according to Rav Moshe? What?
If you're a sizable ownership.
Yeah. And vaday liknos mido merube. If you buy a substantial number of shares, he doesn't say
that's
how
why it's
much.
Different than the first sheet.
What?
That's why it's different than the first sheet log.
Then the first sheet of
the corporation is just
an entity by itself, yeah,
right,
because it doesn't matter. You can own 90% of the shares of the corporation, but you're not the buyer. Ramesha says, if you own a substantial amount, he doesn't say rove, it doesn't have to be rove of the shares, but you have a mida merube kol kach achi ischashvu bedaito, that he has a say in the decisions of, a real say in the decisions of the corporation, yesh leso ap the factory, or mischo shalakum, kem shol hisnu kemo shetzichem lahasluk shosu yisrael shutvis imakum. Then you're really a partner in the corporation. As long as you have a substantial number of shares, then you become a bailim, and it will affect everything. So is there a steer in the two tshuvas of Ramesha? In the other tshuva Ramesha, we saw he says that by corporations you have to make a Shabbos contract with the goyim, right? And here Reb Meisha is saying you don't. Is there a stira? I don't think there's a stira, because Reb Meisha clearly states it all depends how many shares you own. Right? If you're a minority shareholder and you really don't have a say in the decisions of the, you have no control in the corporation, right? So then you're not going to be a bailin. If you do have a certain degree of control in terms of making decisions, so then you have a status of bailin, then you're a partner with the others, right, with the goyim, and then you would have to, you know, all of these various issues, you have a status of bailin, you would have to make a Shabbos contract. Now, the board of directors, very often they hire a CEO, right? They're hiring a CEO to be their employee of the shareholders, right? He doesn't own any shares in the corporation. He's not the Biden of the corporation. He's a worker. He's an employee. He's not the Biden, right? And therefore, as far as Chometz, let's say, he doesn't have a problem with Bayeirot. Okay. But we're talking, the shareholders are the ones who are the Bible, right? So Reb Meisha holds that shareholders are Bible, like the Minchas Yitzchok and like the Reb Meisha Sternberg, but there are differences between. Minchas Yitzchok says it depends whether you have voting rights, then you're a Bible. Reb Meisha Sternberg says no, it doesn't depend whether you have voting rights. As long as you are a shareholder, even a minority shareholder, and you don't have a say in the decision of the corporation, so then you have a status. You still have the status of binding. You're a partner, and therefore you have to sell your shares of chometz of the corporation's chometz before Beis. Reb Meisha says it depends on whether you have a significant number of shares that they have to take into consideration your decisions, and you have a certain degree of control. Yes.
The questions. One is, if you're just a CEO hired by the board of directors, you have one share.
One share.
So you're making all the decisions, but you also have a share in the company.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
But it's not a very large share.
I don't know.
One share.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Also, second question. Second question is that in the Shnar Shabbos that we had yesterday, one of the stipulations was that the Goy can't make any decisions whatsoever. So doesn't that, like...
No, that's because... No, that's only because you don't, when you're selling Shabbos, the Bailus on Shabbos to the Goy, you don't want him to ruin the corporation,
right,
and make any decisions.
Right.
When you're doing it that way, you know, so you have... You that stipulate that. That doesn't affect the halachic validity. It's just a business decision, right? That you want to make sure that he doesn't...
It's not halacha.
It's not halacha, yeah.
He would have. He decided to forego his business.
Right, he foregoes.
Does everyone agree that he, you're a baal over the rabach that's going to come to you? In which case, why isn't that a problem with Shnar Shabbos?
That's a similar question to interest from a bank. Right, if it's compounded every day,
right?
So Reb Meisha has the truth about that. It's not Shnar Shabbos because it's not the interest, the profits are not coming exclusively from Shabbos. Like the interest in the bank, you know how they compute the interest from 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. the next day over that 24-hour period. So it's Bahavlo. It's Bahavlo. So there's no issue. Yeah, Reb Meisha has it in the Truva. He talks about 2 days, Yontev, Rosh Hashanah, 3 day Yontev. Yeah, he talks about that. It's a Truva in Chelek, Orechaim Chelek Dalit. Orechaim Chelek Dalit. Look up the Truva. Okay, the fifth Shita is the Bris Yehuda, Rabbi Yaakov Bloy. Rabbi Yaakov Bloy is actually Rabbi Gram is mother-in-law's husband. She remarried Rabbi Yaakov Bloy. So he was a bank teller for many years. Tremendous tamachover. Today he's like the head of the badatz in Yerushalayim, the head of kashrus in the badatz. But he's a mumche. He's one of the world's mumchim in Hilchas Rivis. And the Bris Yehuda, as I mentioned, is the classic sefer. So in the Bris Yehuda, he has a whole discussion about banks, right? Whether what is the halachic status of a bank, which is simply a corporation, as far as Ribis is concerned. So he says like this. He says, Bailus depends on the rove of the shareholders. the majority shareholder. Whether it's an individual who's a majority, or it's a group of individuals, they have the majority of the shares. If they're Jews, then we view it as a Jewish bailus. If they're goyim, then it's a non-Jewish bailus. It depends on the rov. And he says that's the sheet of many achronim. It doesn't depend on the officers of the corporation who are employees, but it depends on, that's on page 1. Right? I'll just read on Tezayin. Chevra, Obein, Shirov, Moni Yosef, Hein Bidei Akum, Das Rov, Haposkim, Rov Achronim, Lahatir, Yisrael, Lilvos, Mibein, Kozeh Ribis, right? If most of the shareholders are Goyim, so then you're allowed to borrow from the bank, because then you're paying ribis to Goyim, even though a miut of the shareholders are Jews. And even if most of the money that's deposited in the bank is Jewish money, it doesn't depend on the money that's deposited, it depends on the shareholders, right? So rov shareholders are Goyim, it's a non-Jewish bailus, right? And there's no difference in terms of the offices or in terms of the money. If most of the shares are owned by Jews, that's rov apostim she'osu liYisrael lilvos beribis min habank afilu rov pikdonosim shalakum. So then that's a Jewish bank, and then you have a problem of borrowing from the bank with ribis. What do you have to do? Right, like Israel Discount Bank, Bank Leumi, all of the Israeli banks that are, most of the shareholders are Jews, right? So then you have to make a heter iska. And there was one, most of the banks in America are owned by Goyim. Rove of the shares are Goyim. And there was one bank, Columbia.
That's owned by a Jew.
In Muncie also there's a Jewish-owned bank. And they have a tshuva to Rav Moshe, a shayla to Rav Moshe, exactly how to make the heter iska. But then you'll need a heter iska if rove of the shareholders are Jews. There was one bank, Columbia Bank, I don't think it's in existence anymore. It was owned by Abe Spiegel, right? Nice Jewish name. Abe Spiegel from Los Angeles.
He was the CEO,
and he was the major shareholder in the bank, so that was a Jewish bank, and over there, if you wanted to use that bank, you had to get involved in Heter Iska. But otherwise, we assume all the other banks are Bank of America, Chase, and Citibank. All of these banks are, rove of them are Goyim, and therefore the bailus is a bailus of Goyim. The rove shareholders, that's what determines, right? That's what determines. Not like Rav Moshe, different than Rav Moshe also. Rav Moshe said if there are Jews who are substantial shareholders, that their decision, they have some kind of control in the decision making process. And the Bris Yehuda says it depends on Rav, and Rav Yashiv concurs with that. Rav Yashiv says, there's a very interesting psak of Rav Yashiv that's brought down. Yashiv psak is brought down. There's a Pinchas Badma wrote a book called Halachas of Other People's Money. Very, very good book. An excellent book. And so he says like this: according to many poskim, even though a private corporation or LLC is legally considered a distinct entity, nevertheless, halachically, it's considered to be the property of the individuals who own it. Right? Property of the individuals who own it. Therefore, if one steals from a corporation, he's guilty of stealing. So in the footnote, he writes the following: according to many poskim, the assets of a publicly traded company are halachically considered the property of those shareholders who have an influence on the operation of the company. Whose psak is that? Rav Moshe. They have an influence on the operation of the company. If there are no Jews wielding influence on the company is considered a partnership of vakum. This is an important criterion with regards to issues such as chometz on Pesach, interest payments, profits from operations on Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, with regard to stealing from the company, it doesn't make any difference. With regard to stealing, it's gezel akum. Even if they will view the company as a non-Jewish company, non-Jewish bailus, it's gezel, there's no practical difference whether it's akum or Yehudi om. Either case, stealing would be prohibited. So here he says, this is the psak of Rav Yashiv, Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, that's Rav Shlomo Tzalva, Shlomo Zalman's son-in-law, and they say that it depends on rove. It depends on rove of the shareholders. And the Rav Yashiv, I saw this someplace else as well. B'shem Rav Yashiv, that he says that Ramesh already paskin, it depends on rove shares, right? Ramesh didn't really say rove shares. Ramesh said mido merube, that he has an influence on the decisions of the company. But it's very, very similar. So basically, how many shittas do we have? There are five shittas, right? Five shittas in Poskim, how to view a corporation.
He
doesn't talk about that. The Bris Yehuda doesn't talk about that. But because the shareholders, right? I would imagine that he would say, once you view it as a non-Jewish owned company, if real shareholders are goyim, so then you don't have problems of Shabbos. All you're doing is just you're an investor in that. You're not a bialim. If you're not a bialim, it's not a problem. The same thing with comets.
That's what
they would also say. What? Yeah, that's what they would say. Yeah, unless you have Jewish shareholders, it could be many. When you add up all of their shares, if they have rove of the shares of the company, so then it's a Jewish company.
Is there a list somewhere of stocks that people should really avoid? Because I'm sure there are majorly traded stocks that are
concerned with. In Eretz Yisrael, you have much more of a problem, obviously. In America, the assumption is rove acum, unless you know otherwise.
What about investment banks nowadays?
Investment banks? Why is that different than any other bank?
Well,
I'm
not a lot run by Jews today.
What? That's what the goyim say. They own all the banks. We own all the banks. Yeah. No, you can assume that it's rov hakum unless you know otherwise. Like all of the major banks, unless you know that, like Columbia, smaller banks maybe, but I don't think you have to be bodic. You don't have to, unless you've heard something. You know, you heard a name. The name of the CEO is a Jewish name.
Yeah.
You know, something that would give you a clue, a raglayim ledova. Then you would have
also
to invest.
Also, the CEO is who has more power, the CEO or the stockholders?
The board of directors.
The board of directors. They're the ones who are making the decisions, basically. So usually, the board of directors are also shareholders in the corporation. They have major shareholders. Okay, that's then I gave you the Piskei Truvis. You take a look at the Piskei Truvis on about chometz, about selling. Do you have to sell shares? You have to sell your shares if you have shares in a chometz de corporation. So he brings down a machlokes about that. Yeshayim shedin money yoseilu hu mamish kedin chemso shel nochri beveiz nochri shehudi kibal olav achrayis. And there are others who say that you do have to sell the shares. The Cheshev Eifo, the Shabina Rav. Shabina Rav said that that you would not have to sell shares. And the Minchas Yitzchok argues, and Rav Moshe Sternbuch, that you are a bailim if you own shares, and they don't hold it has to be a majority of the shares or even a substantial number of shares. As long as you have some shares in the company, right, you're considered to be a partner, a shutfis, right? It's a fascinating topic, but here you see how halacha deals with this. It's really a modern concept, the whole concept of corporations. It's only 100 years old, the whole concept of a corporation, of a limited liability. But of course, halacha can deal with any situation, anything new. Apply the principles of halacha. Yes.
So I remember my question. Does Moshe hold that a single Jew has to own a large portion of the stocks?
No.
A large portion of the stocks have to be owned by
Jews.
By Jews.
That means that Jews. That Jews
so
are
he's more matter than
yeah right. It doesn't have to be a single Jew.
Okay.
No. Okay, let me just say over a word from the Mishra Chochma. Yeah.
I noticed that most of the banks in Israel have a Heter Iska posted in the...
Heter Iska Kloli.
Right.
It's a big shame in the poskim whether that works. So really, if a person is borrowing money from one of the Israeli banks, he should insist on a personal Heter Iska.
As far as investing money, just store it in the same thing?
Same thing. The same thing. It works both ways. Except Rav Moshe has a tshuva, a famous psak, that when you lend money to a corporation, right? When you're lending money to a corporation, since a corporation is only a limited liability, that means that even that the shareholders in the corporation there's no shibud aguf, there's only a shibud nechosim. So Rav Moshe has a psak based on the Gemara in Gittin that's not called halvor. Halvor is only when you have shibud aguf and also shibud nechosim. But if there's no shibud aguf, there's no personal liability, right? Even though there's liability on the assets, right? So then that's not the halvor that the Torah is talking about, and therefore there's no isur ribis. So therefore Rav Moshe says, according to Rav Moshe's psak in terms of ribis, when you invest money in a Jewish corporation or you deposit money in a Jewish bank, so then, and they're giving you the ribis, they're the love, right? But they have no personal liability because it's a corporation. There's no issa ribis. When you're borrowing from them, right? So you're the love, and you have a personal liability, right? A shibud aguf, that's a halvor, and therefore when you pay them, there's going to be an issa ribis. So Rav Moshe makes that distinction. Many poskim disagree with Rav Moshe's psak, and therefore either way you should make sure to have a heta iska. Okay, but that's really getting off the this topic. Okay, we read about Birchas Hamazon. V'achalta v'savota v'irachta es Hashem Elokecha al oretz ha'toivo asher nosan loch. So the Gemara in Brachah says that Min haTorah you have to say a bracha achrona, a birchas hamazon, after you eat bread. What about a bracha lefonov? Gemara in bracha says kal v'chaimer lebracha shelefonov. K'shu saveh mevarech, k'shu roev lo koshekein. After you're satisfied, you have to say a bracha. So when you're hungry now, you have the opportunity of eating food and satisfying your hunger. So certainly you should have to say a bracha. And Gemara says by Birkas HaTorah, right? By Birkas HaTorah, you have to say a Birkas HaTorah before you learn. Where do we learn that from? Birkas HaTorah before you learn. Kishem Hashem Echra, Havo Gadol Elokeinu. Right, that's the mark of the Birkas HaTorah. Gemara says that Birkas HaTorah you have to say before, but not afterwards. Birkas HaMozen is afterwards, but not before. Even though the Gemara learned the Kav HaChaimah, but the Gemara does not accept it. And that the bracha lefonov is only the rabbanon, birchas hamazon deiraisa, birchas haTorah lefonov is a chiyuv. Pointing to the Ramban, it's a deiraisa, right? And but la'achrov there is no chiyuv. So the Meshech Chochma wants to explain why the difference between a bracha on food is li'achrov, a bracha on limud haTorah is lefonov. So and why? And the Gemara's maskana is that the bracha lefonov, even though there's a kal v'chomer. There's a kal v'chaimer, k'shu saveh mevarech, k'shu roev lo koshekein. The Gemara doesn't accept that kal v'chaimer. What's wrong with the kal v'chaimer that the Gemara doesn't accept it, and therefore bracha lefonov is only a din d'rabbanan. So the Meshech Chochma explains, what's the tachlis of a bracha? If the tachlis of a bracha is exclusively to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the tov that he gives us, right, for the chesed that he does, so then it makes sense. The kal v'chaimer makes a lot of sense. Shehu saveh mevarech, shehu roev lo koshekein. Now I'm so hungry and I'm so happy now that I have the opportunity to eat or to drink. So then you should certainly have to say a bracha lefonov midoy raisa. So why isn't it midoy raisa, the bracha lefonov? So he says because there's really another reason for saying brachas. For birchas hamazon, the reason is that that when a person eats and he's soveya and he's satisfied and he's full, right? So then there's a danger. There's a danger, as the Torah says, that a person fills himself up, and v'shachacht v'rom levavcha, right? You become arrogant. V'shachacht es Hashem Elokecha. The pasuk. After anyone have a chumash? No chumash. The pasuk. What? On the shelf. The pasuk right after v'achalta v'savata v'racht es Hashem Elokecha. Right? Alor satayv Hashem nosan lo. The pasuk right afterwards is it states why you have to say abirkas hamazon hishomer lecha pentishkach et Hashem Elokecha levil tishma mitzvos mishpatav v'chukos asher anochi mitzavach hayom pentoichal v'sovoto, you'll eat and you'll become satisfied uvotim tovim tivne v'yashovto v'rom levavcha v'shachach des Hashem Elokecha. Right? You become arrogant, you'll become a balgaiven, you'll forget about Hashem. Says that the purpose of the bracha is not only to give hoidah, but there's another purpose, a higher purpose, and that is that when a person, after a person eats, and now he's satisfied, now he's soveya, the chiyuv birchas hamazon midoraisa we know is only if you eat kedei tzviya, if you don't eat kedei tzviya, it's only midorabbanan, right? So then there's that danger that the person will forget Hashem and they'll think klichiv yoytzim yodi. I did it all on my own, and Hashem is not part of the picture, right? And therefore, the Torah says there's a chiyuv birchas hamazon dafka liachrov after the achila. So why is birchas haTorah lefonov? Min haTorah. Why do you have to say birchas haTorah lefonov? So he says by Torah, when a person learns Torah, so there's a danger before he starts learning. What's his motivation in learning? Is his motivation for the COVID, for the glory, right? Is his motivation that it should be a kardum lachpavo, right? Or lekanter, in order to argue on others and to refute others. What's the motivation? Because Liman HaTorah, Chazal say, Liman HaTorah is a sam chayim. It could also be a sam moves. L'mayminim bo, it's a sam chayim. L'masmi'ilim bo, right? Those who go to the left, right? Even in Chazal, the left was not considered to be a positive thing. It was a negative thing, right? To the left, to those who go to the left, that means that they have ulterior motives in their learning of Torah, right? So therefore the Torah says, "Kishem Hashem Ekra Hava Godol Elokeinu." Right? As you're about to learn Torah, Shem Hashem Ekro, the Ramban says in his Akdama to Chumash, that Kol HaTorah Kula is Shemaisa Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, depending on the Tzir of Osius. The whole Torah from beginning to end is really the names of Hashem. So, Ki Shem Hashem Ekro, right? When I'm going about to learn Torah, Hovu Gadol Elokeinu. You have to recognize that you're learning Torah because it's a mitzvah, it's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're doing it because of that, because it's the Rotzin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a person and you're supposed to learn Torah lishmo, the l'shem mitzvah limud haTorah, not for the ulterior motives. Even though Chazal said mitosh shelo lishmo bo lishmo, that's because we're human beings and we have a yetzahara. But a person has to realize before he learns that the limud haTorah should be for the purpose, for the right reasons. So the bracha lefonov, there's a birchas haTorah lefonov. After one learns, there's no need for a bracha. No need for a bracha after you. Why? Because the Gemara in Saita says that Torah is limud haTorah is matzil a person from chet. Is matzil is megin. Is matzil Gemara in Saita in Daf Chaf Aleph or Daf Chaf Beis that it's limud haTorah is matzil from chet, and therefore after you learn, the assumption is that the Torah purified the person, refined the person, that it's going to prevent them from coming to chet. So that's the Meshul Chacham, so that's the difference between Birchas HaMazon is Li'akrov and Birchas HaTorah is Lefanov. So I just want to wish everyone tremendous Hatzlocha in your Limud HaTorah, in your growth as B'nai Torah, right? I think we pretty much covered. I mean, obviously, you realize that whatever we do is a tipa min hayam, right? In 4.5 weeks to do a sugya as big as Amir Liatam. We did cover a lot in the basic principles you have and many of the applications, but there are whole svarim that are written about this with there's so much in the poskim. But Baruch Hashem, I think we able. I was a little bit nervous that we would be able to cover everything. I think we touched upon anyway all the major topics in Amir Liatam. And everyone should have it. That's all. And they will.